Okay, so we're going to start in the middle of chapter 26. It's a new paragraph, Vehine. Right, so last week, the Alter Rebbe introduced this concept that he explained how to overcome how to achieve the idea of, you know, the brain following the heart, or how to access the hidden love, and so on. But he introduced a whole new topic. I'm recording. It's just not video. I'm doing it on audio because Josh is not well.
No, it's just that I sometimes have to listen to it again.
You know, so you'll get the audio. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he introduced this idea that it's all very good, but there's certain things that might stand in the way for winning the war with the Yetzer Hara or the Nefesh HaBamis. And he talked about sadness, heaviness, laziness, and so on, right? And he said that really a person has to completely eradicate the concept of worry and sadness. You know, even though he brought a pasuk from Mishle that seems to suggest that sometimes sadness is a good thing. So he explained, first of all, that's only real sadness, which comes from doing the wrong thing by Hashem, which separates us from Hashem at the right time, which is going to break down a bit later. I'm not sure we'll get there today, but otherwise, and even then, sadness or bitterness or discomfort is not the goal. The goal is after the simcha that follows, always to be with simcha and to serve Hashem and to learn Torah and do mitzvahs with great simcha. Okay. So then we started the next part, which we gave a bit of introduction last week, but we'll start again. And he says the following. V'hine eitza hayu'utza, the strategy, the word eitza hayu'utza, the plan, which is a good plan. It's an expression from Tanakh. Letahir liboy, to purify your heart, mikol eitzah, from any sadness, v'nidnud, and trace, daiga memilin d'alma, of any worry, from worldly things, right? He's gonna break down different sources of sadness, different sources of anxiety or sadness or depression or whatever the case is. And this now he's talking about from material challenges, basically, from worldly things. V'afilu bona chayim azoyin, even it's got to do with children, sustenance, health, whatever, all these things, right? Now again, we, as I said last week, it's a difficult, complex topic, this. Essentially, and we're going to come back to why this is, but essentially, our default position going forward is always to daven and to ask Hashem for what we call toiv hanira v'hanigla, revealed good, right? So we don't ask for challenges. But yet, it develops a perspective of what we have to think, or what we have to accept, or what we have to process when Hashem does give us challenges. All right? We started to talk about it last week. We're just going to go over it now, and then we'll develop it further. Mudaz zois lakol. So you have to know, he says. It's important to know. Maimer Rabbeinu Zal, the saying of our sages in the Gemara. Kashem shemavorech ala toivo, that just like you make a brocha on good things, kach mevorach, so you also make a bracha on bad things, etc. Upirushu begemara, and the Gemara says, what does that mean? It's a separate bracha. It's not the same bracha. The bracha for good is hatoyv v'hametiv. Hashem does good, and he's good, and he God does good. And the other one is dayan emes, accepting God's true judgment. Pirush Gemara, the Gemara explains, what does it mean? Kashem, just like you make on the good, you have to make on the bad. La kabule basimcha, to receive it with simcha. Now, it is true that some mafarshim, like Rashi, for example, interprets the simcha part a bit differently, and he says, because on a simple level, what does that mean to be happy when you get challenges, right? So Rashi says, belev shalom, you have to have a complete heart. See? In other words, the acceptance has to be with the same completeness, without doubt, I guess, as it would be when you experience something good. Okay. But the Alter Rebbe of Tanya is more going according to many other mafarshim that actually, no, it means besimcha, which obviously begs the question, how can one be besimcha when you're going through physical challenges, right? And he says, because how do we know the Alter Rebbe is going with this? Because he adds a phrase. He says, k'moy simcha satoiva. Because it has to be just like with a joy, which comes from good, haniglis veniris, which is revealed and obvious good, right? Which is a very, very big question. How is that possible? So he says the following. He says, Ki gam zu l'toiva. First of all, we need to know that everything is for good. Right? Everything is for good. There's a concept that no bad comes from Hashem, only good. And this phrase, gam zu l'toiva, comes from a story in the Gemara that there was a Tana, a great sage, who everything that happened to him would say, gam zu l'toiva. In fact, there's a interesting story that one time he was on the way to see the emperor, the Caesar of Rome, as the great sage used to do in the time of the Gemara on behalf of the Jewish people. And he took a chest of precious stones as a gift from the Jewish community to the Caesar to, you know, to butter him up. And on the way, he stayed at an inn and he thought he could trust the innkeeper or something and gave it to him to look at. The bottom line is the guy stole all the diamonds, all the precious stones, and he filled it with sand. So I'm not sure if he realized in the morning or not, but bottom line is he came to the emperor, and the emperor opened it up. He said, thank you very much, he opened it up, and then he got really angry. He said, well, the Jews mocking me or something? To which Nachum Gamzu answered, instead of being frightened and losing it, he said, Gamzu l'toiva. And at that moment, Eliyahu HaNavi, says the Gemara, came disguised as a Roman soldier or something, and he said to the emperor, before you get angry, he was going to sentence him to death, before you get angry and you do that, I don't know, the Jews, you should just know, maybe it's not regular sand, because the soldier, which was really Eliyahu HaNavi, says, I once heard that Avraham Avinu, the Jews have a tradition that Avraham Avinu had a certain kind of sand that he would pick it up and throw it when he went to war, that time of the four and the five kings and all that, that he would throw it and it would turn into arrows. And Caesar said, okay, let's try it. And he tried it, and that's exactly what happened. So he was okay. Okay, so he was at such a level that by him, Gamzu l'toiva was so complete that taka, it facilitated even miracles happening. But whatever the case is, everything is really for good, right? And when he said Gamzu l'toiva, he wasn't expecting a miracle. He was just believing and really, really believing that it's all good. Now, why is it bad then? If it's really for good, why does it seem bad? Why is it not revealed good? So the Alter Rebbe here develops the following idea. He says, "Ki hi me alma de iskasya, shelamaylo me alma de isgalya," because it comes from the hidden world, the hidden world, hidden worlds which transcend the revealed worlds. Now, what does that mean? So you know that there's various worlds, right? So I'll tell you an interesting thing. This is not in Tanya, but I heard a shiur from Rabbi Yol Khan, and he explains it this way. And he says, you know, in davening, every day, at the beginning of the blessings before Shema, you know, davening is divided in different sections. So after Yishtabach, there's the section that starts the blessings of Shema. We talk about Hashem, you know, the day and night, and the luminaries and the sun, then we talk about the angels, and so on. So we start off by saying, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Yotzeir Oir Uvoirei Choshech. Hashem forms light and He creates darkness. Which is simply, a simple level, just it refers to the cycle of the day, right? But Al-Pi Kabbalah is an interesting concept here. The word Yotzeir means to form, the word Boira means to create, right? So it's actually a reference to some of the worlds, right? We have this Seder Ishtalshtos, we've talked about this before. So we have the world of Atzilus, that's a world that is nothing to do with creation, but in the world of creation itself, in the evolution of creation, we are products of the lowest world, the world of Asiya. But the first two worlds is Bria and Yitzira. Bria means world of creation. That's the first step of when you actually have something that exists. Then you have Yitzira, which is a lower level, which is an evolution of the world of Bria, right? Now, Bria is a higher world than Yitzira. In which case, it makes no sense that we say Yotzer Oyer. Yotzer is like Yitzira. So Yitzira comes from the word light. It is associated with the word light. Uboire, and Hashem creates, like the world of Bria, Choshech, which is darkness. Right? You see what I'm saying? So like that's weird.
Back to front,
exactly. So it's important to understand that Al-Pi Chassidus, there's two concepts of darkness. Right? There's a darkness because there's a blockage. So for example, you have Klippa in this world, right, which is forces of impurity, forces that deny Hashem's existence or question Hashem's existence. Those are all things that a person can come to emunah, a person can realize that Hashem does exist and Hashem is the source of everything. And yet you have the forces that sort of block that concept, right? And those things are called chayshah, they're called darkness because they're blocking the light. But there's a different type of darkness. There's darkness in a sense of transcendence, meaning that it's so high that we can't relate to it. I'm going to give you a very beautiful analogy in a minute, right? In Tehillim, there's a pasuk that says, it talks about Hashem Himself, even out completely higher than, say, that just Hashem in His essence. And it says, Yoshes Choshech Sisroi. Hashem places His secretness, His hiddenness in darkness. Now, with Hashem, there is no darkness. What does that mean, dark? It means that the real essence of Hashem is completely dark because He's not revealed at all to anything, even in the spiritual world. Right? In other words, darkness in the sense of transcendence means not that it's dark. In fact, it's very, very light. But the light is so high that we can't relate to it. You look confused.
Yeah, is that like when something bad happens, you perceive as bad happens to you?
Yeah, that's what Alter Rebbe
says. Years later, you see that whatever it was.
Well, even if you don't see, we'll see in a second.
Yeah.
Alter Rebbe's going to explain in a second, right? In other words, there's a concept of dark, not that it's essentially dark, it's because it's too high for us. So,
but it's still dark.
It's dark for us. It's actually the place of greater lightness, greater light.
Yeah.
I don't know, for example, the Malachim in the world of Bria, yeah. Them it's not dark. They're on the contrary, they're on a very, very high level. And they're in the level of complete bittul to Hashem that we can't relate to. For them, it's greater light. But for us, it's dark. I'll give you an analogy so you'll understand. In other words, sometimes what is for us light is actually coming from a lower level. So I'll explain. It's coming from Tzimtzum. It's called, in Chassidus, it's called Tzimtzum Bishvil Agiloi. There's Tzimtzum in order to reveal. Not the Tzimtzum that comes, that just to block. That's a dark Tzimtzum. But there's Tzimtzum. So I'll give you an example. You have a teacher. We often give this many, many analogies of Chassidus come from a teacher. You have a Rav and a Talmud, as it's called in Chassidus. The Rav is infinitely greater than the Talmud. It's a great Talmud Chacham, a great Rosh Hashiva. And he wants to teach Gemara to a 7-year-old. Right? But the Rosh Hashiva, the way he thinks, is impossible, right? So we know this is one of the famous explanations of the idea of Tzimtzum. So he dilutes his knowledge. He removes some of his infinite knowledge, and even the part that he thinks may, like, okay, he's not going to explain. I mean, the stuff that he's not even potentially for the student. But even the stuff that is, the way he's thinking it is much too high, it's too infinite, it's too deep. So he has to dilute it, he has to camouflage it, he has to put it in a moshul, in an analogy, one analogy, two analogies, whatever the case, and bring it down to the level of the Talmud, right? Now, what is this process called? Revelation or concealment?
Revelation.
The goal here is to reveal. The goal is to reveal to the child the Gemara. Mm-hmm. The page of Gemara that he's trying to learn. Correct? So in the world of the Talmud, it's light. In other words, this is a process that makes it possible for the Talmud to have light, to see the Gemara, to understand the Gemara. Right? Yeah? So that's the world of light. What happens if the Rav doesn't do that? He just teaches him the Gemara like he understands it. Which world is the Talmud now in? The complete darkness. Why? Because the Rav gave him a world that's too high for him. What? Same thing here. Bria is for us the world of darkness. If Hashem reveals the world of Bria to us, it will just be dark. We'll disintegrate. There won't be any Gila. There won't be any revelation. But Hashem wants us to have relations. He gave us a world of Yitzira. Yeah? Yitzira is a lower world. It still needs a lot of Tzimtzum still before we get to us, but many Tzimtzum. But at least that's a world where we can start relating to. That's why it's called Alma d'Isgalia, it's called the world of revelation. Just while we're on the topic, so this is a Pesach, a very famous Pesach concept related to this, right? That when the world, when we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, if Hashem would split the sea and not take us through on dry land, would it be enough? Famous question all the Mefarshim asked, what's the point? Well, he split the sea, he's not going to take us through. The point was to take us through and save us. So what do you mean if you split the sea and not take us through would be enough? Or what would be enough? Wouldn't be anything. But the answer is, of course, the Yetzias Mitzrayim takes place on many levels, not just a physical level. And the splitting of the sea, the Chassidus explains, Kabbalah explains, was a very spiritual thing. What was it? Because on dry land, this world is a world which mirrors what's going on in the upper worlds. In this world, the world that we see is dry land, and that's a reference, that's symbolic, and that represents the Alma d'Isgalia, the revealed worlds, meaning worlds that are on a low level, the worlds that we can see, that we can relate to. The Gemara says, Kol ma sheyesh b'yabosha yesh b'yam. Everything that's in dry land exists in the sea also. Meaning if you go deep sea diving, you'll see trees, you'll see animals, you see everything is almost like this world. However, it's all covered up with the ocean. You see the ocean, you don't see anything. Because that's symbolic, it represents the spiritual worlds, the hidden worlds. Alma d'Iskasya, the hidden world. Why? Because the water represents bitul. It represents Hashem's energy. And in what's the difference between an animal, what's the difference between us who live on dry land and an animal or a creature lives on sea? Animals in the sea are completely one with their source of life. You take them away from, the consciousness of the fish is that he's nothing without the water. Symbolizes like a bittle of an angel in the world of Bria. That he's not independent, he feels he's not independent. The truth is, it's like that with us also, but we don't feel that. The animal, the cow, doesn't feel that. The cow can walk around, doesn't know what, he doesn't. I mean, all cows within humans, right? We can walk around and then think that, race. It's a business deal that made us money. It's this that brought us success. It's our own seichel. It's all nonsense. We're nothing without Hashem, right? It's just the keli Hashem wanted to go through that, whatever the case is. So we don't feel that level of bittul. So the world of the sea is like the ocean, is the ruchni, it's the spirituality, it's the world of Bria. It's the hidden world. It's a world which, but if it would reveal to us, it wouldn't be too hard for us. What happened at Kriyas Yamsuf? The sea split. The sea split means that the Yidden were able to have a taste, they were given an experience of looking at witnessing and experiencing the hidden world. So much so that the Gemara says that Maseroso Shifcha Layam, what a simple maidservant saw at the Kriyas Yamsuf, when the sea split, what they saw spiritually, they saw a revelation, a vision, more than Yecheskel. Yecheskel was one of the greatest prophets, right? Okay. So therefore, in this analogy, right? In this analogy, the I'm going to tell you this outside because I think it's better if I explain it first than we do it inside, right? In this analogy, the world Bria is the world of darkness, even though it's higher, and which is the hidden world, and Yetzirah is the world of revealed world, the world that we can relate to, and that's the light. That's why we say in Shacharis, Yoitzer Oir Uvoirei Choshech. Right? Okay. Says the Alter Rebbe that what happens is that when a person gets food material challenges, nothing bad from Hashem, nothing bad comes from Hashem. What is actually happening is he's getting his influence, he's getting his flow from the hidden worlds rather than from the revealed worlds.
When something bad happens,
it's coming from a higher place than when good happens. Why? When good happens, it's coming from, again, go back to the Talmud. When the Talmud understands the Gemara, to him, he enjoys it, right? Ah, I got it. I got what Abaye asked. I got what Rava answered. Where's that coming from? It's coming from Simsum. It's coming from a lower level. It's coming after the whole filtering of where the Rav was able to put aside the stuff that is too high for him, the world of transcendence, and is able to bring it down and dilute it. So the Talmud gets it. That's what good is in this world. That's what real good is, a revealed good. When the if the Rav doesn't, let's go back to this muscle. When the Rav doesn't dilute it, right? And the Talmud, he says to the Talmud, I'm going to, you know, let's say a Talmud, you know, I'll give you an example. Let's say a Talmud goes, some big tzaddik, big Rosh Hashiva, he's coming to town. Right? He's going to give a shir, but he's giving a shir to the highest level of the yeshiva. But everyone in town wants to go see it, right? One wants to hear it. So a little kid goes. I remember as a kid, I used to go to my father sometimes. Right? When a Rav would come to town, I would give a shir, I would go with. I don't understand a word. Right? No, you understand much better than that. Right? That's an indictment on me if that's the case. But right. So the Talmud listens to this, and on one hand, he thinks, oh, wow, I got like this, you know, I went to a shir, this big Rosh Shivani that he gave to the top class in the yeshiva. What do you say? I'm got a clue. I didn't understand it, I didn't enjoy it. After a while, I got bored, but I was there. Right? That is when Hashem gives us a material challenge. It's like the Rav giving us something without tzimtzum. So because of that tzimtzum, we cannot relate to it. It cannot be given to us in a way that we relate to it and enjoy it and understand it. Because it's coming from a higher world, it's coming from the choshech. Coming from Bria or even higher, whatever the case is, right? So in fact, what it is, it's ultimately a better good. It's a higher good. It isn't something that relates to us now, but it creates, okay, we'll talk about what it does in a second, but that's where it's coming from. Right? Interestingly enough, this actually is rooted in the Gemara. And it's something that Likutei Torah, the Alter Rebbe talks about, not here, but in Likutei Torah, where he explains about those two parshas that we learn. And many Hasidic Rebbes talk about this. It's a real Hasidic way of looking at it. But we have two parshas in the Torah, which one we read before Shavuos sometime, 2 weeks before Shavuos, and one we read 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. We have the Toichecha. The reprimand when Hashem gives it to us, says, you don't listen, it's going to be terrible. And there's some terrible, terrible things. If you look at the English, it's very scary, right? So we know the famous story of the Alter Rebbe. The Mittler Rebbe, the Mittler Alter Rebbe's son. He was a child, right? And every Shabbos in the Alter Rebbe Shul, the Alter Rebbe was the Baal Koira. I'm telling you the story just to bring out the point. So he's Baal Koira. One time, it was Parshas Kisove, the one we read 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. And the Alter Rebbe wasn't there. So a regular guy went up and he leaned. And the Mittler Rebbe fainted. His son fainted. He was also a son already. He was very spiritually sensitive. It was very scary. It was very intimidating. I mean, at his age, most kids probably don't know what they're hearing, so it doesn't matter. That's fine. But he kind of was listening to Kriyas Torah and listening to the translation of the words. And he got so scared by the reprimand, all these punishments and everything, that he fainted. He was really close to Bar Mitzvah, the story goes, that it was even he was planning to fast Yom Kippur, and in fact it was even a shaila if he could fast Yom Kippur, he got so sick. Someone asked him, he said, I don't understand. Every Shabbos, every year the Alter Rebbe lands. Every year we read these things. Not the first time. Right? It's not the first time you've heard this. Why are you faint? He said, when the Tata lane, he says, my father reads the stuff. I only hear brachas. I don't hear curses. I hear brachas. Why? Because the Chassidus explains like this, that those, because it's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, it's a Zohar actually. Not, it's not a Gemara, it's a Zohar. That Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was with his son, Rabbi Lazar. And two very great sages came to town. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai sent his son to those sages to get a bracha. And they went, and then they came back. And Rashbi said to them, what did he say? So I don't know, he sent us to get brachas, but they cursed us out. So he said, tell me what they said. And they told him, I don't know, I forgot exactly, but it was like some terrible things. So he said, you don't understand, it was unbelievable brachas. And he went on to explain to them what the bracha really was. So the question is, if it was really brachas, why couldn't they say it? Because some things are so high that they cannot be said they cannot be revealed in this world. They have to be cloaked, they have to come, they shrouded in darkness, they shrouded in mystery, they come from the world of darkness.
Was it because the receivers weren't?
Yeah, the world generally. So the Alter Rebbe is the same thing. So when the Torah gives us those toichacha, right? When the Torah gives us all these curses, that's what we hear. That's why in shul we read it quietly. We read it quickly. That's the minute, because we don't want to, you know, let's get over this kind of thing, right? It's part of Torah. It's part of thing, but we don't want to dwell on it, right? But when the Alter Rebbe read it, he understood what was really going on his level. And because his son was also very spiritually sensitive, he was able to tap into the brachas. So he didn't faint. You understand? So what the Alter Rebbe says is that actually when we're getting a challenge, a material challenge, we're actually getting something from a higher space. A toiv. We're getting a good from a higher level. Now the question is, what's the point? What does it do for us? It's very nice. I accept. Very nice, Hashem. Thank you. You didn't give a moshul, you didn't do a tzimtzum, you gave it straight from the source, and that's why it's actually coming to me in a completely hidden way, and it's not revealed good. What do I have from it? Right? Let's go back to the moshul. I alluded to this before, but let's spell it out. The moshul is that when the Talmid doesn't understand, he's a bit broken, and he's a bit hurt, he's a bit confused, he doesn't understand what's going on. If you ask him, if you try to test him on the Gemara, he has no clue. But he feels there was a deeper connection. He heard something very deep from a big Rosh Hashiva. He has no clue what it is, but he maybe he could even repeat the words, but he doesn't know what it is. But he feels a deeper connection. What Alter Rebbe is trying to get us to understand is, and to get us to induce simcha, even into bad things, is that I don't understand this, or in physical terms, it doesn't feel good and it hurts, but it's actually connecting me to Hashem in a very deeper way. Because it's coming from a higher space. Right? And he says, Shahu. So he says like this. So he says it's higher than Almadiz Galya. Why? Shahu, the revealed words, the revealed word, Nathal Al-Tram says an interesting thing. The revealed worlds is Vovke. Everything comes from Hashem, Yudke Vovke. Yudke Vovke in itself, there are two parts. Is Yud-K, Yud and Hey, and then Vav and Hey, right? Okay, Yud-K and Vav-K, right? So the Almadis Galya, the revealed worlds only come from the Vav and the Hey, right? The Almadis Kasya, who Yud-K. The hidden world is from the higher letters, the Yud-K, right? So let me just explain this a little bit. So we know that Hashem relates to us, I mean, we are Tzelem Elokim, we're in the thing of God, right? So therefore we always say in Chassidus that Mipsori Echselaka. If we look at our makeup, we can understand how Hashem works, right? So within Seder Ishtalshlis itself, we say Bria is higher than Yitzira. Bria is a hidden world, Yitzira is a revealed world. That's why Yitzira is darkness and Bria is light. And we say that Alma Diskasi, the hidden world, is Yud and Hey, and the revealed world is Vav and Hey, right? So the way it works is like this. Because we know that Bria is Bina. Atzilus is Yud, which is Chochma. Bria is Hey, which is Bina. That's how Hashem's name works, right? Yud is the Nekuda, the point. Point of connection is something higher than ourselves. That's Chochma. Then there's Bina, which is Hey. That's because it broadens out. Then we have Vav, which is the six Midas. Yeah? I've never told you this before. Maybe I haven't. And then the final hey, which is malchus. That's the receiver. It's a feminine word which receives the six midas and gives, right? What's the difference between our intellect? What's the difference between intellect and midas and emotions, right? The difference is things that we think about doesn't relate necessarily to other people. In other words, when I think something, it's for me. It's the concept in my head. It has nothing to do with the outside. Thinking is about me processing stuff and understanding stuff within my world. That's what intellect is. Emotion is how I start to bring it down to the world of response, the world of giving. Now within that, of course, there's two parts. So you have the first six midas, which are about, let's say I feel kindness. When I feel kindness, it's already, I'm taking into account kindness to something. I feel angry, it's angry to something. Hateful is hateful to something. Compassion is compassion to something, right? Now, it might not be implemented because it doesn't go to the malchus. Okay, but as soon as you start with midas, chesed, once you get to chesed, there's an outside world. When I go to intellect, there's no outside world, just me. I'm understanding things. right? But as soon as you got to the middos is already about the outside. It's about relating to the outside world. Yeah? With Hashem, it's the same thing. Hashem created the world in 7 days. Why? Because Hashem also has Chochma bin Adas, whatever that Chochma bin Adas is. But in that Chochma bin Adas, there is no world. It's Hashem himself. He might be planning a world, but it's all a world within him, within his world. It's got nothing to do with an outside entity just yet. When you get to Midas, then it's already relating to something outside. Therefore, when it comes to Yudke Vovke, say Yudke, Yud and Hey is Chochma and Bina, right? Vov and Hey is the Midas and Malchus. In other words, Alma discuss here the hidden world which cannot relate to us. That's the world of intellect, Yud and Hey, right? Whereas the world of Vav and Hey, which is the second part of Yudke Vavke, that's already relating and taking into account an outside entity, and therefore that's already relating to an outside world. That's the revealed world. It's like the Rav. The Rav thinking in the Gemara himself, that's his hidden world. That's all he's got to do himself. Already when he starts to process for the Talmud, that's already relatable to the Talmud, so that's the revealed world.
So can you put darkness and light in
the exercise? Yeah, same thing.
Yud and
Hey. Yeah, because Yud and Hey is the world of darkness because it doesn't relate to us, higher than us. Still transcendent. Whereas Vavke is really relating to us, that's the world of light. So therefore, where does challenge come from? Where does physical material challenges come from? They come from Yudke, because they come from the hidden world. It's a higher good, therefore. It's like the Rav communicating his intellect. Talmud doesn't understand anything, he doesn't enjoy it. But it's a very deep connection, right? This is something that needs a lot of processing and a lot of internalizing to really live it. Learning it in Tanya is one thing, but to really live it is right. And by the way, I've spoken about this many times, especially in the last 2 years in Shurim, and I've quoted the Dovid HaMelech, but this is the depth of it, right? When we say Dovid HaMelech said, "Imo yonoichi b'tzara," that Hashem is with me even in times of challenge. This is the real depth. In a way, Hashem is more with me in the times of challenge. Because the connection is deeper. When we have challenge, when we suffer, when we have tragedy, whatever the case is, so it seems like Hashem has abandoned us. Dovid HaMelech says, "No, I knew even through my troubles, I knew that Hashem is with me, is hugging me in the time of challenge." And according to this Tanya, what it comes up is actually even more. In other words, He's with me even, He's hugging me stronger. He's connecting me deeply, not in a revealed way, in a dark way, but He's with me more. He's closer to me in a way. It's giving me a deeper connection. It's exposing me to a higher world. Right? Says the Tanya, "Vazesh Kosov." This is what it's written. Ashrei HaGever. Ashrei HaGever. Happy is the Tilim. Tilim says a very interesting thing. Ashrei HaGever. Happy is the man. Asher Tiyasrenuka. That Hashem punishes him. Happy is the man. That Hashem inflicts him. Now it's a very, very interesting pasuk here. First, we need to know why should the person be happy? Okay, but also it's a very interesting. If you look very carefully, it says, "Happy is the man that Hashem will chastise him or rebuke him or let him suffer, whatever the case is." Right. But when it says Hashem here, it doesn't say Yudke Vavke as it normally does in a pasuk. It only says Yudke Ko. Right. Yudke is also the name of Hashem. We say in Davni, right? Like in Ashra, we say, "Kol Hanashama Tehalel Ko." Not the full name of Hashem, just Yudke. Or in Halel, we use that name also sometimes. So sometimes you can just use the name of Hashem, just the Yud and the Hey, and it's also the name of Hashem. So when it comes to the Pasuk, it says, "Happy is the man that Hashem will punish him," it says only the Yudke. Because that's where it's coming from, right? It's not going through Vavke. It's coming straight from Yudke, right? That's the pshat. So where's the simcha? So in other words, this is the strategy to get rid of the sadness and the worry. Because what Hashem is giving me now is only good. In fact, it's a higher good. And the apostle says, Ashra, you actually, it's like almost like a merit, right? Okay, we'll see in a second why we don't say, "Well, then bring it on." We don't do that. For sure not. It's only about things that have happened till now. Right? But I mean, the question is created. If it's so good, so why are we trying to push it up? I'm not talking about because we're physical people, so we don't like it. In philosophically, spiritually speaking, if we're on the level, why do we, right? I'll tell you an amazing story. The Choyz of Lublin. Because both things are true. We have to accept it and be happy with it. Happy that it's coming from a high source. That's real good. It's deep good. And yet, Davin, Hashem, take it away. So there's a story with Choyz of Lublin, a very beautiful, considerate story. Choyz of Lublin, once his daughter got very, very sick on Simchas Torah. And the cage tell him that it's mamish, it's like any minute. It's terrible. So he turned to Hashem and he said the following. He said, the Gemara says, like Hashem Shem Baruch, and he was on a very high level, and he was able to really achieve this properly, like to be mamish besimcha. Not just to learn about the simcha, but really to experience simcha, be a challenge, right? And if his daughter would, Chas V'Shalom, actually die, he would be besimcha. That's who he was, because he knows, that's who you have to be. So Hashem is good. Like, but also we have this thing that you have to daven that it should go away, right? So what did he do? He turned to Hashem and he said the following. He said, Eibishter, you gave us a day called Simchas Torah, and you commanded us to be happy. So I'm besimcha. You also gave us a Gemara that says that just like you make a bracha on bad, you have to make a good, I mean, you have to make a bracha on bad. The Gemara says it means you have to accept it with simcha. The whole explanation that we just learned. But he says to Hashem, there's also a din, an halacha, that you're not supposed to mix two simchas together. Ein ma'arvin simcha v'simcha. Like, for example, you're not supposed to get married on a Chol HaMoed Sukkos or something like that, because you can't mix two simchas. Right? So therefore, ein ma'arvin simcha v'simcha. So I'm asking you to do me a favor, take away this other simcha. But he meant it, it wasn't just plain words. And his daughter got better. Okay, so that's what I'm saying, but that's, I'm just bringing out, I'm telling you the story to bring out this concept that he was at the level that he was fully able to makabal it with simcha, and yet he asked Hashem to take it away in a very cryptic and a very interesting way. But really, he was davening that she gets better, right? Not because he was sad, he was davening that she should get better, because that's what you have to daven for. But at the same time, he was able to receive it with simcha. And therefore, like this, Lochen Omer Rabbi Razal, that's what Chazal tell us. An interesting thing. Ki asmeichim b'yisurin, that those people who are able to be happy when they have discomfort or they have suffering, aleihem akosuv oimer, the Pasuk says about them, right? The Pasuk says about them that, that they will merit to the following. A very cryptic Pasuk. The Pasuk says, the oyavav, those that love Hashem, what will be the reward? Ketseis Hashemesh bigvurasoi, when the sun will come out in its full strength. What does that mean? It's like this. What's the connection? In other words, why are those that are happy with suffering considered the ones who love Hashem? Or are, sorry, oyavav, the ones that no oyavav doesn't mean love Hashem. Hashem loves them. I mean. That those who Hashem loves will merit the time that the sun comes out in its full strength. What's that got to do with suffering? Second of all, what's the connection to the sun coming out in its strength? Like, what does that mean? What's the connection to what they to their simcha in suffering? He says, first of all, you have to understand. He says, "Ki asimcha u'mavosoi," that the simcha is because a person understands that Hashem is really loving him. Kirvas Hashem Yoise, because this person wants the closeness to Hashem, is worth it to him more than anything in this world. Yoise Mikol Chayla Mazeh. Yehaftas Hashem Alikechad. Al Treb talks about later in his letters. Right? You love Hashem to such a point that all you want is the connection to Hashem. That's what a Yid wants. Therefore, when he realizes that when Hashem gave him a challenge, actually Hashem is closer to him. Hashem is deeply connected to him, deeper than whatever comes from the revealed worlds. He experiences a tremendous simcha. Right? Because like it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, your kindness is greater than life. In other words, anything material doesn't come anywhere near to being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connected to Hashem, and therefore he's happy. And the Kirvas Hashem would be Yeser's ace, and this closest to Hashem, as we just explained, is higher and greater, Ein Kates, infinitely greater, the Alma Deiskasya, when it comes from the hidden world. Kisham Chevyanuzek, that's where the true strength of Hashem is in it. The Yoshua says, that's why Hashem sits like, he says a similar passage I said before, Hashem dwells in darkness, Hashem dwells in the world of darkness. In other words, he dwells in a very high level which we cannot relate to, right? So therefore, the person is able to understand this, is able to experience happiness when this happens. Zoyche letzeis Hashemesh bigvurosoi, He will merit to see the sun when it comes out in its strength when Mashiach comes. What does that mean? So we know that now, we know that the sun has a shield around it. Because the sun, we know Hashem and Elohim is an analogy for the sun, and it's nartek, it's sack, some sort of film, something that Hashem protects us from the intensity of the sun, right? And really that's what's happening. Now when we get the rays of the sun, right, we're getting a diluted form, Simpson, right? It's coming, it's not the sun itself, not the rays of the sun itself, it's coming through some sort of, I don't know what the physical science of it is, but some sort of thing which is film, whatever that's protecting us. The person, however, who understands that when he suffers, when he has challenge, he's actually getting the source that he's getting without symptoms. That's what he's getting. That's why it hurts, right? Because it's coming from all this kasia. When Mashiach comes and Hashem removes the tzimtzum, he'll be able to see and experience the good in its real sense. He'll be able to understand what it's all about. He'll be able to understand why that was good. He'll see the good in it. He'll see the good. To him it'll be revealed good. Which is hard to relate to, but that's the truth. Well, the osit is galim v'kisuya, and when Mashiach comes, the sun will be able to be revealed without its cover. What it means in the terms we're talking about now, shoz is galim alma diskasi. Then the alma diskasi will be revealed. The child will understand what the teacher's talking about. Right? The yizar v'yor begil rav atzim, and it will shine with unbelievable revelation. L'chol ha'chosim boy. Whoever trusted in Hashem in this hidden world, ba'olam hazeh in this world, will be an unbelievable reward for those who are able to understand that when they got something they didn't like, it was actually coming from a hidden world. When Mashiach comes, they'll take a see the hidden world and appreciate it and see the good. And they'll be able to shelter in Hashem's shade, Seila Chochma, which is called the shade of wisdom, which is called shade. Why sometimes shade is a No, with sukkah, we say that the kosher sukkah is only if it's got more shade than sun. We say the shade of the sukkah is a reference to Hashem's presence. Right? It's funny, sometimes we talk about the Shekhinah as light. Sometimes we talk about actually the shade being light. What we mean is a greater level of Shekhinah, a greater level of Hashem's presence, right? That's why it's shade, that's why sukkah, that's revealed after Yom Kippur and everything, that's what's revealed on sukkah. I mean, we're not, us humans don't understand it all, but we know it's there. Right, a high level of Shekhinah, a high level of the shade, Hashem's shade. And Mashiach comes, we're able to really appreciate, we'll see the Shekhinah in the shade. We'll see the divine presence in the shade, we'll understand, it'll be revealed to us in the world of darkness. We'll see it clearly. Now, the question remains, just to clarify, if that's all true, so that's wonderful. So why should we daven for revealed good? And we know that Hashem wants us to daven for revealed good. How do we know that? What's the proof of that? The proof of that is the mitzvah of davening. Davening is not something we made up. So davening is a mitzvah from the Torah. Right? And when we daven, we ask Hashem for health. And everyone knows, the translation of that is not hidden good. The translation is health. Exactly health. Right? And we ask Hashem for parnasa, we mean parnasa. We don't mean any hidden stuff. So what's going on? So what's going on, that two things are true. Hashem wants us, there are two reasons why Hashem wants us to daven for revealed good. First of all, you see, it's true. Let's say a person really gets to this, right? No, because this could be, I mean, it's not such a big question for us because we don't mind davening for revealed good. But I mean, if a person really reaches us, obviously what Alter Rebbe just gave us, heart is like everything in Tanya, it's hard to experience at its highest level, at its perfect level, but it's at least a perspective. To strengthen our emunah and to withhold and not to be sad and not to be drawn down, not to be anxious when we have challenges, right? Okay, so we have to work on that. That's emunah and bitachin and everything. And even when it's happening, even the bad things, to know that Hashem is very close to us and the Bibi Simcha. You want to have a glimpse of that? You can look what's going on in Israel. See the videos of people in shelters singing. It'll be good, it'll be good, it'll be good. I mean, they're just crazy there. It's like unbelievable. Unbelievable. The emunah there is unbelievable. People without yarmulkes, people are just totally, it's unbelievable. Anyway, that's another discussion. But okay, so with this perspective, it's unbelievable to see that, yeah, Hashem, I mean, there's tragedies, there's miracles, there's tragedies, all happening together. Bottom line, Hashem is with us. And all the stuff that we don't understand is coming from a higher level. Okay, good. So a person, but a person who really experiences this, it must be hard to daven in for revealed good. Why would you want to go away from the higher level, right? Al Rebbe says the Gemara talks about at optimum level. The Gemara talks about smeching the Yisurim, actually happy with their challenge because they know that Hashem is so close to them, right? But no, we have to daven for revealed good. Why? Two reasons. First of all, we have the Rambam. In Parshas Bechukosai, not the Rambam's on the Parsha, but I'm saying with regard to Parshas Bechukosai, the Torah talks about the rewards that will happen if you keep the Torah mitzvahs, right? It's a famous question the Rambam talks about, the Rambam explains this. What do you mean rewards? All the rewards that it talks about in Parshas Bechukosai are all in this world. And yet, the Gemara says that the true reward for a mitzvah is not in this world. The mitzvah is so valuable that you cannot be truly rewarded in this world for a mitzvah. The main reward comes in the world to come. Right? Okay, some reward is, but the Rambam explains, what's the reward? The reward is actually the ability to do the mitzvah properly. In other words, at the end of the day, what's our purpose? Our purpose is to do mitzvahs, purpose is to learn Torah. And Hashem says, if you really committed to that, you will have the resources. You'll have rain. You'll have rain, so you should have parnassah, so your mind should be clear, calm, and focused on learning Torah. And you have the resources to do mitzvahs, which goes back to the whole idea of tefillah. Because the Rebbe once had a whole sikh on Rosh Hashanah about this, but he extended it to a regular day. I'll leave it for Rosh Hashanah now, the whole explanation. But right, because the Rebbe said it's very interesting. Where do we ask? Where do we actually where do we ask for our revealed good? Where do we do it? In Shemoneh Esrei, right? In Amidah. Yeah. Actually, Al Pi Kabbalah, the Amidah is the highest level of tefillah. It's where you most surrender to Hashem. That's why we have to stand up with our feet together, not talk. Like the Gemara says, Ka'avda Kamemoria, it's actually the highest level of Bittul. Tefillah is like a ladder. You get closer and closer to Hashem. Right? Shemoneh Esrei, if you really understand Tefillah, you're at the highest level of totally one-to-one with Hashem. You're like a servant in front of his master. No? A servant in front of his master, that's the time to go through your shopping list. You should be a total Bittul now. And the answer is yes, because deep down, even though not all of us feel us like that, but the deep down, we have to try to build this perspective. Why do we actually want to be healthy and want to have parnassah and want to do this? Why do we need all these material things to serve Hashem properly? And Hashem says, as soon as he sees that we're committed to that, he'll give it to us. And that's part of tefillah. And tefillah is part of a commitment. We dafka say it in Shemoneh Esrei because that's where we are bottled. We're saying part of our surrender to Hashem is, please Hashem, give me the resources. Give me wisdom. Give me health. Give me insight. Give me parnassah. So I should be able to serve you. I should be able to do more. I should be able to give a lot of tzedakah. I should be able to do a lot of mitzvahs. I should be able to have an expensive esrog. I don't know, whatever it means. I should be able to learn Torah. For that, I can't be sick. I need to be able to think. I need to be able to write. And so on. So here's the interesting thing. It's all very nice. When Hashem gives us a challenge, he gave us an opportunity to understand His real love for us. He's with us. He's hugging us. But we have to say, actually, that's very nice. It's beautiful. Are we happy with it? We have simcha even. We understand where it's coming from. But actually, our real bittul is we want to fulfill the mission that we came here for.
This world.
Yeah. Thank you, Hashem, for the hug. But actually, I want to get on with the job that you gave me, which is the ultimate connection to you. I'm not sad. That's what the Alter Rebbe said. You can't be anxious. You can't be sad. You can't be down. Simcha will only lead to less involvement in Torah mitzvahs. That's what's going to happen. So you're actually happy, but at the same time, you're saying to Hashem, I'm happy, but I want to do what you wanted me to do. I want to fulfill your purpose. My main goal in this world is not that you should give me a hug. Not that you should, it is. I mean, when Hashem wants to give us a real hug, he does, right? But you also told me that your main purpose in this world is to do the job, to learn Torah, to do mitzvahs, to give tzedakah, to be kind to others. I've got to have the resources for that. So for that, you need revealed good. That's one reason. The second reason is, which he brings you in a sefer, but I heard it straight from a cousin of mine. I think I told you this. That he asked the Rebbe once this. He learned this Perek HaTanya, and he wrote into the Rebbe a question. I can't remember if it was in a private audience or he wrote a letter to the Rebbe. And he asked him a question. If this is so amazing, if it comes from hidden good, so why do we daven for revealed good? And the Rebbe said, because we also have to turn to Hashem. This is a logical system that Hashem said. All the analogy I gave you before, the Rav and the Talmud and the sun, it all makes sense. Bria is darkness. It's all in the logical system, in the structure that Hashem created the world with, it makes perfect sense. But we daven to Hashem, we say, you know, you can give me the hag a different way. You are a keil yochel. At the end of the day, you transcend all the, you made the system, but you can transcend the system. There is a way when you can give me that hag by revealed good. So that's what we daven for, that's our job. Hashem wants the system, there's a reason why Hashem said this once in a while, it doesn't work like a way. That's what, so we accept it and then we apply this tanya. But we still daven for revealed good because we say, Hashem, you can do both together. How? We don't know, because it doesn't make sense, because what makes sense is here. But Hashem will work that out. But when he chooses not to. So essentially, it's a little bit like the same difference which we talked about many times, emunah and bitochen. When we're experiencing some things that already happened, we totally accept, and we try to do it even besimcha. That's emunah. That Hashem is with us, He's hugging us, and at the same time, we cry to Hashem to make it reveal good. So that's the simcha you can have even when there's challenges which are physical. The next part of Tanya, which we'll do next week, Mitzvah Hashem, is what happens if a person has sadness from spiritual things. Guilt, or upset that he's not learning better, he's not doing a mitzvah, he forgot to do a mitzvah, or he gave into the Yetzer Hara, and that can lead to a certain level of sadness, a completely different type of sadness, and needs a completely different strategy, which we'll talk about next week, Mitzvah Hashem.